Today's message is for the wanderer. Are you wandering without a purpose? Is your soul thirsty for something more? Are you trying to satisfy a spiritual hunger? Would you like direction and purpose? Would you like your spiritual thirst quenched? If so, the Lord has good news for you this morning. And this message is also for those who are in bondage. Does something have a grip on your life? Does it feel like you're chained to sin? Are you in bondage to guilt or anger? Would you like to be set free? Would you like to have those chains broken? If so, the Lord has good news for you this morning. And this message is also for those rebels, those that follow after their own wisdom, who think they know what's best. He has following your own desires led you down the road of poor choices, and you now wished you had wisdom to follow. If you're a rebel, the Lord has good news for you this morning. And this message is also for those that are self-sufficient, those who are convinced that they can do things on their own. Is that you? Have you found that sometimes things are outside of your control? Things that you can do nothing about? Would you like some assurance today that everything is going to be all right? Are you ready to place your trust in someone else other than yourself? If so, the Lord has some good news for you this morning. So I'm asking you today, which one are you? Are you a wanderer? Are you in bondage? Are you a rebel? Are you self-sufficient? Or perhaps are you a little bit of all of those? Before we begin, let me start with a word of prayer. Father, as we turn to your word this morning, I ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. I ask you to call us home by your word, to help us to stop wandering, to free us from the chains of bondage, to cause us to follow you with a new heart, and to rely and trust on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, with Thanksgiving around the corner, what are you thankful for? And who are you thankful to? I know that seems obvious, right? When things are going well for us, we have these plenty of things to be thankful for. We express it very easily, and I'm not faulting anyone. It's just the way people are. When things are good, our thankfulness tends to be up here on the surface. Right? It's like things are going well for a period of time and you say, well, I'm thankful for my food and I'm thankful for my job and I'm thankful for your family. And that's fine. But I want us to start thinking about who we're thankful to. Now, it's assumed we're thankful to God. However, sometimes deep in our minds, and we may not even be fully aware of it, but way down in our thinking, we're kind of thinking to ourselves, you know, my hard work actually built this house. My talents actually paid for this television. And you are thankful, but the thankfulness doesn't go really deep. And ultimately, you can just be thankful that things are going well and it's directed personally towards anyone in specifics. You're just thankful. Now, if that's sometimes can be us, but then what happens to us is we go through a little harder times, right? We go through a job loss. We go through an illness. We lose a loved one, and we start to look at things a little bit differently. So now, as we pray our way through those tragedies, as we struggle through those difficulties, when we come to Thanksgiving, we come to it a little differently. We have this greater sense of appreciation. Even those simple little things, we now thank God, not just out into the air. We thank God for that job we have. We thank God that our family is here with us at Thanksgiving. It gets a little deeper, and our Thanksgiving is directed a little more towards God. It was like that for the pilgrims, I think. The pilgrims were desperately seeking a religious freedom. So they left everything they had over in England, everything, and they packed it up, and their whole lives they packed up, and they got into a wooden boat, and they went off in search of a place where they could worship God with freedom and in peace. We don't give too much thought about this, but they sailed across the Atlantic Ocean in a wooden sailboat without any modern conveniences. I mean, they didn't have any GPS. And when they landed here in the Northeast in the winter. Imagine that for a second. I mean, we have Gore-Tex, we have snowblowers, insulated houses, cars, and we still complain about how cold it is. But they landed here without any of that. So just surviving to them was this accomplishment. And so after that first summer here in the harvest of 1621, they decided to give thanks. Now imagine their thankfulness, right? They had that deep thankfulness that I was talking about. They gave thanks to God that they just survived, right? They gave thanks to God that they had any kind of harvest at all, let alone a good one. And by the way, it wasn't all that great. And reflected in that deep thankfulness is their appreciation for this psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 107. The commander of the group, a man by the name of William Bradford, summarized their accomplishment as the pilgrims, and you could hear the echoes of Psalm 107 when he wrote this. He says, "May not and ought not the children of these fathers rightly say, our fathers were Englishmen which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in this wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord, and he heard their voice, and he looked on their adversity. Let them therefore praise the Lord because he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Yes, let them which have been redeemed of the Lord show how much he hath delivered them from the hand of the oppressor. When they wandered in the desert wilderness out of the way and found no city to dwell in, both hungry and thirsty, their soul was overwhelmed in them. Let them confess before the Lord his loving kindness and his wonderful works before the sons of men." The pilgrims knew this deep gratitude. Because see, he rescued them from something. He saved them from the religious persecution. He saved them from those perils at sea. He saved them from the winter. God acted inside of their history, inside of their very lives. And so they thanked him and they praised him for it. Thanks or thanksgiving, and from a biblical perspective, is tied to praise. It's tied to giving a praise to God and his works in human history, even our personal human history. For example, you get a job and you praise or honor God in some way, maybe in prayer, maybe in worship, and you express your love to God because in some fashion he acted in your life and you see that he helped you to get that job. And that's what Psalm 107 is about. It's a prayer of praise to God for his works inside of human history. And when we look at the psalm and we start with verses 1 through 3, it starts out as this call to praise God. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks or praise the Lord. Why? Because he's good. He's good. It's part of his character. It's what makes God, God. He is good. And his loving kindness, it endures forever. It's not sometimes. It's not partially. It endures forever. It's everlasting faithfulness. It's who God is. It's part of his very character. And then 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe." It's not everyone who offers their praise to the Lord or their thanks to the Lord. It's not everyone. It's the redeemed of the Lord that are to thank God. The redeemed are those that have seen God act inside of their history. Those that are redeemed of the Lord, those have been redeemed by the hand of the foe, or those that the adversary or the enemy had his grip on, but God instead redeemed them. Those are the people that are to offer thanks or praise to God. Those are those that know God, a good God, an everlasting God. Now, the thing about the redeemed is that they too were once these wanderers. The redeemed were also the ones in bondage. The redeemed were also at once rebels and self-sufficient. And sometimes even the redeemed need reminding of where they came from, so that when the things of the world are going well, they're reminded of God's acts in their history to bring them back to their place of thanksgiving. So the psalmist takes this psalm and he breaks it down into these four sections. A section for the wanderer, a section for one in bondage, a section for the rebel, and a section for the self-sufficient. And after each section, he concludes with this wonderful call to give thanks. Verses 4 through 9 are for the wanderer. Verses 4 and 5, some wandered in the desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. The psalmist is talking about this time that Israel was wandering in the desert, and they were physically hungry and thirsty, and they didn't know where they were going. God would only show them day by day where they were going. The wanderers are these people who are spiritually searching. The wanderers are those among us who are searching for anything, searching for something, direction, meaning. What's my life about? In their soul is this hunger. In their soul is this thirst. They wander because God has not been part of their history yet. Because see, there's good news for those that are wandering. There's good news for those that are hungry and those who are thirsty. Jesus can become part of their story. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." The wanderer is blessed because when they find Jesus, when they find the way, the truth, and the life, they will be filled. Jesus said, "I'm also the bread of life. Come to me and you will never be hungry." Jesus is also the living water. He said, "When you come to me, you will never be thirsty." In John 6:35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The good news for the wanderer today is that what you are searching for is Jesus. He is the only one that will satisfy your deep spiritual thirst. He is the only one that will satisfy your hunger. He was the only one that will give you direction and purpose. And he has a purpose for you. It is not to follow, it is to follow him, his purpose. And it's not just a taste of spiritual food, not just a wetting of the lips of your spiritual thirst. Jesus says you will be filled. You will be filled to overflowing with righteousness. So how? How do the wanderers find Jesus in this desert wilderness? The psalmist tells us in the next verse, 107 verse 6, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." They cried out to the Lord and he delivered them. They cried out to the Lord and he stepped into their story. They cried out to the Lord and he gave them direction and purpose. He made the wanderer the redeemed. Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Are you prone to wander? He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion in Christ Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides you. He directs you. He keeps you from wandering. Wanderers, turn and wander no longer. And then Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things." But maybe today you're not a wanderer. Maybe you're more like the one in bondage. In the next section, the psalmist recalls when Israel was held captive by their enemies. Israel was in slavery to a foreign country. In verses 10 through 12, it says, "Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help." Israel went through this time in their history where they rebelled against God, so God let her be carried off. He allowed invaders to take them away. They were in chains. They were enslaved to this kingdom. And while they were enslaved in Israel's history, God uses this imagery as this picture of sin, a picture of our sin and how we were in bondage. And those who are not the redeemed are in darkness, the Bible says. Utter darkness. That's right out of Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness. In Romans 6, the Apostle Paul calls the unredeemed slaves to sin. The unredeemed are in this darkness and are in bondage to the enemy. They're in bondage to things like anger. They're in bondage to things like hatred and lust and greed. And these things have a hold on them like an iron chain. They're like sin addicts and they can't get free themselves no matter what they do. But then in the next verse, the psalmist tells them how to get free. Psalm 107 verses 13 to 14. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from the distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and he broke away their chains. Again, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The people walking in darkness have now seen a great light. Jesus came for those in bondage. He broke the chains of sin. And in Romans 6:18, it says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Jesus, through the cross, died for your sins. And when you call on him in your distress, when you call on him in your bondage, in your trouble and distress, he will set you free from the bondage of that enemy. He will redeem you and he will buy you back. And then again, when you're part of the redeemed, when God works in your history to purchase you out of the bondage of the enemy, you give him praise and you thank him. Verses 15 and 16. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. But maybe for you it doesn't feel like bondage, but you've got your own ideas about God. Maybe some things in the Bible you say, you know, they're not for me. I've got my own ideas. Well, then maybe you're a rebel. The rebels found in the next section, verses 17 through 18. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered afflictions because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. The psalmist is talking about the fool. In the Old Testament, God's wisdom or God's word is contrasted with the fool. The fool is the one who ignores God's ways. The fool is the one who seeks after their own pleasure, because they are in rebellion. The rebel hears what God says, but then he says, I don't think he wants me that for me. They're self-indulgent to the point of destruction. And here the psalmist says that they're suffering actually from physical infirmities that God has allowed. God turns the rebels or their fools over to their own desires. Paul talks about this again in Romans 1, verses 24 and 25, and again in Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. See, once the rebel is tired of living to please their flesh, once they're tired of reaping what they sow, once they're looking for that new life, the rebel too, they can find relief in Jesus. Psalm 107, 19 through 20. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Again, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus came, and not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he was resurrected to a new life. And he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word and help us live a life no longer foolish, no longer in rebellion. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. Jesus said, come and follow me. Turn from your rebellious ways and follow him. So when the rebellious turn and start to follow Jesus, they become the redeemed. And the redeemed then thank the Lord. Psalm 107, 20 through 21. And he sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. And let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And then lastly, maybe you're not any of those, but you're a little self-sufficient. That's our final section, 23 through 27. Psalm 107, 23 through 27. Some went out in the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths, and in the peril their courage melted away, and they reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. The psalmist uses this imagery of the sea and those that go out in merchant ships only to find out that ultimately they have no control over the sea whatsoever. God controls the wind and the waves. God controls the storms. They may go out in their own power, but when they get out there, they find out that they have no real power at all. The psalmist writes, they staggered like drunkards and they were at their wits' end. They had nowhere to turn. The pilgrims probably knew this passage deeply. Crossing the Atlantic in 1620 in a wooden boat, they knew beyond a doubt that it was God that was in control. Striking out into a new land, they would need to leave everything up to God. The problem with the self-sufficient is that at some point they realize that there are things that even the best can't plan for. There are things that even the highest of achievers can't overcome. There are natural disasters. There are economic downturns. There are fires. There's cancer. There's always something that's outside of their control. And when that disaster hits, the self-sufficient are left staggering. They're left at their wit's end. Unless. 107, 28, and 29. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is in control of the natural. Jesus has overcome the wind and the waves. He knows all of the unforeseen circumstances you may face, and he will walk through them with you. He may not remove them, but he will walk you through them. There was a time when Jesus demonstrated this to his disciples in Mark chapter 6, 48 through 51. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on a lake. And he was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on a lake, they thought he was a ghost and they cried out. Because they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And then he climbed into the boat with them. And the wind died down and they were completely amazed. They cried out to him and he climbed in the boat with them. If you're self-sufficient today, rely on Jesus. Jesus alone is the one who pays the price for your sins. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. Then the self-sufficient, when calling on Jesus, the self-sufficient too becomes the redeemed. And the redeemed then thanks the Lord. Psalm 107, verses 30 through 32. And then they were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Today, this Thanksgiving, to all those that wander, to those in bondage, to those that are rebels, and to the self-sufficient, cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ in your distress. Become the redeemed. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out to the Lord. Become the redeemed and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.